God has set eternity in the hearts of men. And he uses wonder, awe, and wonder to call us back to himself. Moments where we are awestruck and cannot deny the beauty and the power and the mystery of life and love and creation. You know, when you experience those moments, they're powerful. Sometimes they take your breath away. And this is exactly what David must have experienced leading up to his writing of Psalm 8. Listen closely and witness his wonder as I read Psalm 8. David says, "O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Humans that you should care for them. You made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth." It's obvious as you read this psalm that David is caught up in wonder. He's awestruck as he thinks about the glory and the majestic power of God, who is the author of human love and gives children as a gift of such love. And he marvels at the message which children speak without saying a word. It's true, right? You look at that picture right there. Those kids don't need to say anything to you. God speaks through moments like that. God silences men. That's what this psalm says, and it's true, isn't it? You know it because you already quit listening to anything I'm saying right now because you're looking at that picture. That's why I put it up there. David is awestruck at the night sky, his face heavenward as he gazes at the moon and the stars and the galaxies in their radiance. All of this is almost too much for him to take in. And he is humbled to think that God should care about him, that God should care about mere humans, sinners. Astounded, he realizes that the whole of creation is a gift to him, to people, meant as a call to worship. Creation calls me to my knees. And he finishes the psalm where he started, still awestruck, still caught up in wonder. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. How can he say that? Well, everywhere he looks, he sees a reason to wonder. David has made a habit of cultivating wonder. We should take our lead from him. I thought of a few experiences that I am thankful for which I know that God has used to help me recapture wonder and call me to my knees in worship. They're simple things, but they take my breath away. Summer's first slice of tomato with Hellman's mayonnaise, whole wheat bread. That's wonder. Standing out in my yard in the pouring rain, remembering when I was a kid running around in the grass, taking in a sunrise at the beach, saying hello to the preschoolers on their first day at Cornerstone Preschool. They've never been to a preschool, and they're just wide-eyed and ready for anything. Nervous parents. They're walking down the steps. Sometimes I whisper, it's going to be okay. There's cookies down there. Okay? Now you miss that if you're not looking for them, right? You just miss it. Watching a groom's face when his bride is coming down the aisle. Now I have a particular, I have an advantage, a better vantage point than most people as a pastor. When I'm marrying a couple, I watch the groom. He's right there. It's like 3 feet from me, not even. And his bride is coming down the aisle. And you can hear his breath taken away. You can't, but I can. And then you watch this girl walk coming down the aisle with her father. And you see her flush a little bit. She knows she's loved. One, because her dad is right there. The other, because she knows that this guy she gets to spend her life with. It's powerful. I'm going to get that experience this Saturday. Moving on a little bit. Watching a herd of elk in a meadow in Colorado. I don't mean in pictures and movies. I mean me and the elk and my brother about half a mile down the mountain wondering, where on earth am I at? Am I lost and am I going to die? I said, just leave me alone. That just takes my breath away. A spider web wet with morning dew, especially if there's a lantern fly in the web. Spotted lantern fly in the web. He sucked the blood out of that thing. Oh, that's wonderful, right? A hummingbird feeding outside your window. Now join me, all right? What are we doing here? We're just seeing the gifts of God here that are meant to inspire wonder and call us to worship. Not to worship the spider eating the lantern fly. Not to worship marriage or human love or even children, but to realize these are gifts from God. They're meant to help us recapture our wonder. My wife and I like to walk in Boyertown Park. I love to hold her hand. My hand could eat her hand. Our whole married life, she's like, take it easy on my hand. She just puts her little hand in there. And the older I get, the more meaningful that is to me. To hold her hand and to walk around the park or wherever we're at. I say that in part because this past Wednesday, a good friend of mine from high school, I played football with him, baseball, basketball. We disliked the Dallas Cowboys together. 52 years old, he was going to be 53 next month. He died of a heart attack. My friend Matthew Moyer from Knox, Pennsylvania. I wasn't able to go be at his viewing. His funeral was yesterday, but I just some realizing that life is pretty short. But one more, moving on. For me, this is just for me, serving communion last week. Knowing that the taste of bread and juice will fill our senses and remind us that we are among the redeemed. Very simple things, those elements, but yet they kind of come over us, and they're a beautiful reminder that we are God's children. So you look at this psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 8. One of the things that the Psalms teach us is that God never meant for us to get over worship. We don't get over worship. It is a continuous state of mind. It's meant to be that. Because worship is wonderful. It's powerful. It's hopeful. But here's the truth. This is your takeaway today. Here's the truth. Wonder takes work. You have to work at wonder. Cultivating wonder. And understanding the link between wonder and worship. In a sense, for a Christian, wonder is worship. Because the things that we wonder over and are awestruck by should point us to worship. But wonder takes work, just like marriage takes work, or writing takes work, or whatever it is that you're, whatever craft you're trying to perfect, or skill you're trying to improve upon, it takes work. You have to cultivate wonder, or this life, living in this world, will kill it. Sin will kill it. Idolatry will kill it. Busyness will kill it. You just get so busy running. You miss so many things. And so wonder takes work. You have to cultivate it. You have to be intentional about seeing what's around you and appreciating what's around you. That's exactly how Psalm 8 got written. David has been caught up and captivated by the wonders of creation and the truth that God gave creation to humans as a gift in order to captivate them and catapult them, their hearts, their emotions, their passions, back to Him. And that's where they will be safest. So wonder takes work. Say it with me. Ready? Wonder takes work. It must be cultivated. Rabbi Zacharias had this to say about wonder. Our sense of wonder is a blessing from God, given so that we would be continually amazed at His beauty, His majesty, His power, His creation. But for many of us, he says, our wonder has diminished through the years. And we doubt that we'll ever be able to experience the overwhelming sense of awe we once had as children. Our minds tell us that enchantment is childish, while our hearts yearn to discover this very childlike sense of wonder. Mary Brown said this, "You know you're getting old when you've lost your marvels." That's M-A-R-V-E-L-S. You know you're getting old when you've lost your marvels. Or I might say this, as a Christian, as a Bible scholar, you know you're erring, you're off track, you're wayward, when you've lost your sense of wonder. What steals our wonder? Idolatry steals our wonder. Busyness steals our wonder. And I will say this, ministry can steal your wonder. When our life is consumed with serving Jesus, but not worshiping Jesus. One older pastor said to a group of younger pastors, "Do not trade Jesus for the ministry." There is in many hearts a yearning for the first-hand experience of the presence of God. Many people are tired of religion reduced to social action, group therapy, or theological analysis. They wonder where the wonder went. That's not to discount social action, group therapy, theological analysis. But it is to say this: when our life is consumed with serving Jesus, but not worshiping Jesus, we will lose our wonder. And we will lose our sense of passion, of life, of excitement. God never intended for our life to be wonderless, only wonderful. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life abundant and full." And I think that in a sense he meant, "I have come that your life, your existence, your experience would be wonderful." The problem is that our sense of wonder disintegrates into disillusionment when our hope becomes anchored in something other than Jesus himself. It could be ministry related, it could be work related, it could be busyness, it could be idolatry, but we get off track. And worship is meant to recapture, to restore our sense of wonder. But it must be cultivated, and so you must take time. I think taking time to be here today, to sing, to pray, to hear a choir anthem, to reflect on this particular psalm, to be reminded of the truths about this subject, it's all important, it's significant. We have to cultivate wonder. Wonder is a gift from God. It needs discipline, guarding, and thoughtful guiding. I must seek after it. I must be a passionate worshiper, and this needs to happen more than once a week. Listen, you can discipline yourself to be a worshiper in your house, in your car, at your workplace, walking down a road, hunting, making a quilt, working in your garden, mowing your grass, stomping on lantern flies. Worship restores wonder. But authentic worship is guided by gratitude and guarded by truth. Gratitude fills the heart when the gift of truth has been understood. And wonder fills the soul when gratitude is expressed to the fullest. And this results in a passionate love for Jesus. I think at the core of worship and wonder is this truth: the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is at the core of worship, the core of wonder. So when you go out into your garden and you dig carrots, how many of you dig carrots? I know Bill and Kim dig carrots. All right. You dig carrots, you dig potatoes. The preschoolers went out last week and they were digging potatoes out in the community garden. And Kathy brings home this potato. I said, "Where did you get that?" She said, "One of the kids dug it up in the garden, and he thought I just had to have it. And I didn't have the heart, you know, to leave it there. I brought it home." I said, "That's a big potato." Are we still enough for long enough to recognize the goodness of God, the grace of God, and that everything that's created points us to this truth: the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am adopted into the family of God. The wonder of wonders is that a holy God would love sinful man to lavish such spiritual riches upon him. And we should always be caught up in such a spirit of wonder, awestruck at the thought that God would love us. I think that's what David is saying in Psalm 8. It's the same thing Paul said in Colossians 1. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So much of what adults struggle with, I think, can be tied to the reality that we have just lost our way because we have lost our wonder. We have run after things of this earth. We have valued a prize that is earthly and not held on to Jesus himself. And worship, the invitation to worship, all of creation that's made is an invitation back to Jesus. And today, I invite you once again back to Jesus. I invite you to acknowledge his love, his grace, his blood, his salvation in everything that you see, everything that you experience. God means to point you back to the wonder that God loves you. Pray with me, please. Lord, may we never lose our wonder. And thank you for this reminder today. We lose our way at times, but you invite us back. So let us commit our hearts, our minds, to cultivating the sense of wonder and awe, acknowledging in so many little things, your power, your majesty, your goodness. Most of all, let us get caught up in the wonder that your own Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty of our sin.